parish. I really love Michael's story because it's so similar to other stories where people pray to God, not knowing Baba, and then eventually, you know, circumstances bring them to Baba.
Yeah. There's a grand story about that fellow, you know. Tell them about Ramsar Singh Yadav of the ferry. Similar thing, as Jack tells us. See, hear this story now.
Slightly more involved.
Yeah.
But
it tells them the whole truth.
This is an Indian fellow, and the story begins decades ago when he was a small boy. And he was orphaned and was living, his sister was taking care of him. And he was growing up, and times were difficult. They didn't have a lot of money, and it was a hard life for him without parents. And as a small child, he had found that when life got to be very hard for him, he would go to a certain place behind his house, there's a little hill there, and he felt some kind of peace, some sort of communion, something that would satisfy him to some extent. And so he would go and he would stay there and he would feel comforted. And that was really his solace in life. Because his life was not an easy one. And as he grew older, he started to find the pinch of his circumstances to be tighter and tighter. Because as he got older, he wanted to do more and more, and he couldn't do anything because the family just didn't have the means to do it. And one time, he was getting to be a teenager now, and he went to his sisters and said, "I need money, I have to do something." She said, "No, I can't afford to give you any." And he said, "But, you know, I need it. I need it for my life, things I have to do. I know you have the money, give it to me." And she said, "No, I can't think just of you. I have a whole household to take care of, and I have to see that the money lasts to the end of the month. You can't have it." And he got enraged. He just totally lost his temper. All his frustration, everything boiled up. And he said if she didn't give him the money, he would take an axe and chop off her head. And she just laughed at him. She knew he was a hothead. She said, "Do what you want, I'm not giving you the money." And that was it. And so that night he went to bed, but he couldn't sleep. Because suddenly, the sense of what he had said to his sister was so great. He thought, how could I have come to such a pass that for money, I would threaten to take her life? She didn't seem to think anything of it, but he could not sleep at all. It just bothered him so much. He'd become like an animal, just for money. He's thinking, he knew this was not the way to be. Growing up in India, whether you're spiritual or not, there's certain things, and you know this is not the way to behave. In America, you may think it's okay.
Right.
You can find reasons to justify it. But here, your sister is taking care of you, and you threaten violence. And whatever it is, he's not allowed to sleep. His conscience won't let him. So finally, after a few hours, he said, "I'm never going to get to sleep. This is ridiculous." And he goes outside of the house, and he goes to the hill. And he feels now on the hill, he's always had this consolation. He starts pouring out his heart to God. What God it is, he doesn't know. Because he can't accept any of the, you know, family, religion, and so on. But he's just talking to God. And in a wild way, sometimes he's apologizing, "Please forgive me, how could I have done this?" The next moment he's laughing, and then he's weeping. Just passion overtakes him. He just pours out his heart to God. He says, "God, for money, I was willing to kill my sister. Please let me just come to you, let me dedicate my life to you." And then it goes on and on and on. Finally at dawn, all that passion is spent, and there's a little bit of relief. He feels like he's now suddenly like waking up, coming to his senses. For 3 hours, he's been possessed by this passion that he doesn't even know where it came from. Just incredible longing and urge and unworthiness, all mixed up together in a jumble. So now it's getting to be dawn, and he realizes, "I've been out the whole night. They're going to worry about me. They're going to say, what's happened? Has he run away? I better go back." So he goes back to his home, and the incident's forgotten. And not long after that, he's in a small area and he has to travel on bicycle. And along the way, he has to cross the river. There's a river nearby. As it turns out, a very broad river. And there's a ferry there. And as he's driving along on his bicycle, a car passes him. So he speeds up, because you know, if a car comes, I mean, the ferries, there's no schedule. When people show up, the ferry goes across. But cars are few and far between, so when a car comes, as soon as it comes, the ferry's going to go. So now I know the ferry's about to leave, so I better hurry up. So he gets there, and the ferry people all know him. This is a common thing for him to go back and forth. So they see him, they say, hurry, hurry, get your cycle on first. And he puts a cycle on, and then the people from the car get down, and they drive this car on. He goes across. And as he's standing there, he notices one of the people in the car. And he's just really struck looking at this person. Because there's something so magnificent about the person. They just think, this must be, you know, some Maharaja of some province, some incredibly important person. And he just stood there the whole time. It takes like an hour to cross the ferry, very slow ferry, across the river. He stood there just staring at this person the whole time. Just can't take his eyes off this person's face. Just fascinated. And he doesn't say anything, but that sense is this is some very high person, some very important person in the world. And then again, they reach the other side, and the car gets down, he goes off with his bike, and again, totally forgotten. The years pass, and a friend of his tells him about Meher Baba. You should come. He has no interest in coming. Misses the opportunity. Again, years pass, and now it's 54. And Baba's issued a statement saying that anyone who has any interest definitely should come. This is an opportunity not to be missed. And it's not if you're willing to obey me 100%. It wasn't that. It's just that this is the opportunity for people to come. And his friend shows him the circular. So he thinks, why not? What do I have to lose? I'll come with you. So he comes. And they arrive at Maribod. And he's wandering around. And he sees the Rahori cabin. And it reminds him of something from his youth. When he had been young, and kind of thinking about different religions, and all of them had struck him as being clearly not the truth. They were too exclusive. He couldn't understand any religion that seemed to have a major part of its tenets being that some people were excluded. They're damned, they're not included, there's something wrong with their path. That didn't strike him as right. He thought, wouldn't it be wonderful someday if there were a religion that included all religions? And he even wrote a little poem about this as a youth. And again, as things go in youth, you forget about it. And he sees the Rahori cabin. It has the symbols of the world's great religions there. And suddenly that memory is revived. And he says, ah, this is what I dreamed about as a child. Something that would have all the religions brought together. And he looks around, and the people from all different castes, all different sections of Indian society are there, and they're mingling very happily. You don't have, you know, just the Brahmins here and then this sect here. Everyone's just mingling. So right away he thinks, oh, this isn't so bad. Maybe there's some point in coming here. But he still really doesn't know anything about it. And the next morning he's sitting in front of Lower Maribod, and there's a bench there. And he's just sitting there, and Baba's car comes. And when Baba's car comes, for the first time, now it's been many years, all that emotion that he felt on that hill that night he was pouring out his heart to God suddenly returns. And he has that same sense of unbelievable longing to see God, to be with God. One thing I forgot is part of his prayer on the hill and his confusion and repentance was, God, please give me your darshan. Throughout history, you've come to so many of your lovers. I need you. Come, I need to see you. I need your guidance. And that was part of this ongoing conversation with God, and suddenly it all comes back when he sees Baba's car. And he just rushes out to get a look at Baba. And Baba comes out and he walks away, and there's huge crowds. He says, where is he going? What's happening? And someone says, he's going to the tent, he's going to give darshan. So he's excited, we get to see him. And he rushes and he gets to be first in line. And if you have any experience with Baba lovers, you know, I mean, how he must have rushed. Here, you know, it's his first time. There are experienced people here doing Baba for decades. He gets first in line to have Baba's darshan. He's just so happy. But Baba starts the woman's line first. So he's standing there watching these people come. And as he watches, he can't believe it. Because these women come, and they bow down. And the next thing, they're shrieking hysterically. They're going, Baba, Baba, Baba. And they're crying and they're carrying on. what is this? I can't do this. Is this what we're supposed to do? And he's a little sorry now that he's first in line. he just doesn't feel that. And he thinks, well, this must be what Baba wants. This is what all these women are doing. And he doesn't really know what to do. And then some politician comes and, of course, cuts in front of him. Thinks, well, that's okay. Because now I can see maybe men have a different, you know, we don't. So he's standing there waiting for the men's turn. And his friend who's brought him said, you just can't see Baba with nothing. You have to take Baba something. So he gives him a fruit, an orange. He says, you gotta give Baba something. And he gives him a garland. When you see Baba, give this to Baba. He says, okay, if this is what you want me to do, I'll do it. But in his heart, he always felt no. When you see God, why do you have to take anything? You take your heart. That's the only gift. God doesn't need fruit. But his friends say, no, you have to do this. It's okay. So finally, it's the men's turn. And the politician goes first. And actually, by now, several other people have cut in front of him. So he's now not first, but he's still up close. And the men are going, and he sees, you don't have to cry, you don't have to get hysterical, you just go. And now it's his turn. And just when it's going to be his turn, Baba looks, and looks at him, and then turns and says something to one of the mandali, seemingly about him, as if Baba knows him. And that's the last thing he remembers. Baba looks at him with that look of recognition, and the next thing he knows, he's hundreds of yards away. He's walking away from the pandal. Tears are streaming down his face. And he has no memory of having met Baba at all. And in fact, he has no memory of anything. And he realizes after a while that he's crying. So he goes to wipe the tear away. And he hits himself in the face with the orange. He hasn't given anything to Baba. I mean, it's still there. So, oh, what have I done? Well, I better give this to Baba. So he gets back in line. So he's standing in line again, waiting to come to Baba. He's thinking, I know him. I know this person. But how is it possible? And he can't think, because he knows he's never seen him. His friend wanted him to come several years back. He said no. But he knows Baba. So the whole time he's thinking, how do I know him? How do I know him? I know him. And he goes, and this time he gives the orange, he gives the garland to Baba. But there's still that sense of, I know him. But the mind's like, but how can you know him? How is it possible? So then it suddenly comes to him. Maybe he was the one on the ferry. Maybe he was the one. So he goes and he finds someone who was with Baba. And he starts asking questions. You know, was Baba ever in such and such a place in such and such a time? And it turns out Baba had been musk hunting at a nearby big city, but to go that way, if you know the roads and so, he would have had to go by this ferry. And it was just the time that this man was there. So he says, this must be. And then he thinks even more. He said, think of it. On this hill, I prayed to God, saying, God, let me see you. Let me have your darshan. And God comes in person, and I'm like 6 feet away from him for an hour on the ferry with no one else, just staring at him. And God answered my prayer, and I didn't even know it. And so from that moment, it's like, I don't have to ask God for anything. Baba is God. He's answered my prayer. He will always answer my prayers. And he comes every year at least.
Yeah.